Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning, you're listening to WILL 580 AM. I'm Chris Berube. Today it's mostly sunny with a high around 14, northwest winds of 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lowest wind chill readings for today are 5 below to 15 below zero throughout the morning. Tonight it's mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a low around 8. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a high of 27. Right now it is 5 degrees in Decatur with a wind chill of minus 9. At Willard Airport in Champaign, it is 3 with a wind chill of minus 12, and here at Friends Plaza in Urbana, it is 5 degrees. And now with a look at the opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Japan's age limit on U.S. and Canadian beef may rise from 20 to 30 months as soon as the end of February. On January 28th, Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare's Pharmaceutical Affairs and Food Sanitation Council will start studying recommendations regarding raising the age limit. If the council acknowledges the recommendations within 2 months, it will start procedures to raise the age limit. The age limit will then go up to 30 months between late February and early April. This morning, USDA reported reported to USDA sale of option origin soybeans, 120,000 metric tons, for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. The origin of the commodity may be the U.S. or one of more other exporting countries. The marketing year for soybeans began on September 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,645, is down almost 4 points. The NASDAQ, 3,131, is down about 3. The S&P 500 is 1,484. It is down just over 1 point.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here's World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
No crop-damaging cold occurred across the Midwest this morning, despite the fact that temperatures dropped into the single digits Fahrenheit across a big part of the Midwest soft wheat production region, and there was a limited amount of snow around. And it looks like over these next few days, the cold weather will likely prevail across the region as well, and we will see other opportunities for temperatures to be as cold as this morning, but the results will be the same. I don't expect any sustainable period of warming to occur across the Midwest until we get into the late weekend and the early part of next week. At that point in time, we'll also see an increase in precipitation potentials across the region, and the combination of the two will likely result in at least a bit of a change in our environment from where we are right now. The relatively dry conditions that occurred over the past several days will give way to a more frequent precipitation pattern, and we'll likely see the temperatures at least a little less cold than they are today. Certainly, bitter cold conditions across the region this morning did bring on not only those single-digit readings to the lower parts of the Midwest, but readings as cold as the negative lower 30s in northern portions of Minnesota, with temperatures well below zero across a big part of the upper Midwest. As we go through the afternoon today, we won't see those areas see the temperatures above a zero at all, and they'll go right back below zero more significantly overnight tonight. And they'll probably still struggle tomorrow to get any warmer than the positive single-digit readings. The lower parts of the Midwest, so we'll see opportunities for some warmer conditions. It looks like some 30 and 40-degree highs may occur briefly as we move into tomorrow afternoon across the lower parts of the Midwest, but that'll be quickly replaced by temperatures again in the 20s for highs on Thursday, and we'll bounce it one more time into the 40s, perhaps in some 30s, as we move into Friday afternoon before yet another round of cooling occurs as we move into Saturday afternoon. Like I said before, a more sustainable period of warmer weather will occur as we move through the latter part of the weekend and into the early part of next week, with 20s and 30s likely in the north, and the 30s, 40s, and even a couple of lower 50s likely in the south. The precipitation prospects across the region will likely be changing here. Instead of the dry weather mode that we're in at the moment, we'll likely see an increase in precipitation potentials. The first disturbance to pass through the region that will have any meaning will be a disturbance that comes in with one of the cold surges that arrives as we go from Thursday into Friday. Light snow will come with that system. Accumulations will likely run from a dusting to maybe 2 or 3 inches in a couple of spots. Most of it will be lighter than that, though. We'll look for this event to pass off to out of the region fairly quickly. It'll be followed by another day or so of dry weather, and then another frontal boundary will come through the region as we move from Saturday into Sunday, but that actually brings the warmer air back into the region, so a wintry mix of precipitation will be possible at that point. The next large storm system to influence the region will probably occur Monday into Tuesday of next week, and possibly lingering a little bit into Wednesday. Rain and snow both will occur with this event. We'll watch it real closely. It's probably a little bit oversized here in today's computer forecast model outlook, but nevertheless, I think we will be seeing wetter conditions, and we'll not only see it wetter at that point, but we'll probably see some follow-up systems that will go on into the early part of February that will likely maintain or at least return the risk of some soggy conditions in the lower eastern Midwest and the Delta as we move on out in time. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting on March 5th is sure to attract a crowd. We've got a great lineup of panels. We've got presentations on the changing southern U.S. farm landscape, projected land values in 2013, diversifying into livestock, and of course, our popular marketing panels on soybeans, corn, and cash grain. Guarantee your seats by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a Beef House continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 217-333-7300. Let's go ahead and look at the composite trade in Kansas City. March wheat at 849.5, up 5.75. In Chicago, March wheat 796.5, up 5.25. March corn 731.75, up 4.25. July 726, up 4.5. Go out to December at 594, up 3.5. March soybeans, 1447.25, now 47 even, up 17.75. July, 1429.5, up 19.5. November, 1306.5, up 14.25. March soybean meal, 418.90, up 450. March soybean oil, 5238, up 71. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Does what we're seeing in the soybean pit this morning indicate commercials are sourcing some new product?
It could be that they're looking at that, but I think most of it is that we have hot and dry weather forecast again for southern Brazil and Argentina, and everybody's worried that the crop size there is getting smaller, not larger. And as a result of that, corn up 4 and beans up 17 to 18.
So are we going to then build on those numbers throughout this session and even be higher by the end of the session?
We could be doing that. We need to get the March beans to go through the 1450 area. If they do that, they've got a shot at 1470 and then 1490 and then 15 even in the next couple of weeks on the beaners. On corn, we need to get through the 37 area. That could push us to 45 and then to 50. And again, that's for the next week to 10 days.
You know, after a number of weeks where the non-commercials were really not so much in the market, last week's report signaled they had returned. Do you think that they are back and will be building on longs?
They could be building on longs. The big thing about all of that is what are the funds going to do, and are they going to still try to get out and go to other things besides grains? At the moment, I think they are in buying also, and I think they are such a big factor that it'll be more dependent on them than anything else.
On Monday, I believe the European markets were not closed, and they had a heck of a rally day. Do we see that here, too, trying to catch up?
Yeah, we do. I mean, Europe looking at what their costs are, and we're going to follow right behind it. And we've had lots and lots of interest after being so oversold and pushed downward that we're worried about the current crop and crop size for this year, that they want to get in line so they can get stuff at prices that are not higher.
What else are you looking at today, Pete?
Basically, it's the weather, South America. We're also looking at weather in Australia, weather in Europe, the coldness in Russia and Europe, and our coldness here, and our dryness in our western Midwest. The wheat area is helping push the wheat also higher.
Thank you much, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace in Kansas City, March wheat, 8.48¾, up 5. March wheat in Chicago, 7.96, up 4¾. March corn is 7.31¼, up 3¾. July, 7.25½, up 4. December, 5.93¾, up 3¼. March soybeans are 14.46¾, up 17½. July, 14.29¼, up 19¼. November, 13.06, up 13¾. March soybean meal, 4.19.10, up 4.70. March soybean oil, 52.38, up 70. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.